Kwadikusa's draft budgets on the table and open for public comment. 3.37 billion rand. Rates up by 6%, refuse up by 7%, electricity. The same electricity this municipality loses a quarter of every year, up between 9% and 11%. And the mayor has called it balanced, funded and credible. 8 days ago, petrol went up 3.06 rand a litre, the biggest increase in years. Eskom's hiked tariffs 8.76% on the same day. Taxi fares are rising. Food prices will follow diesel. And on top of all that, Kwadikusa's senior executives collected performance bonuses in a year the municipality delivered 38% of its service targets, recorded 386 million rand in electricity losses and spent 106 million rand irregularly. Okay, these are three of these officials are now in precautionary suspension, and behind the scenes, civil society in Kwadikusa has been doing the work the municipality should have been doing itself. Today, they are in studio giving us an update. What has changed, what has not, and what does it mean for your money? Mary Kasim, she is a Chief Operating Officer of DOCRA, and Warwick Chapman, Chair of the Kwadikusa Residents Forum. Let's go. Welcome both of you.
Thank you, Penny.
Mary, we're going to just kick off with a draft budget. The mayor tabled this budget 2 weeks ago and called it balanced, funded, and credible. You have both read it. What do you think it is?
So the budget is funded, Penny. That is a fact.
But yeah.
I think the core question is budget credibility. And the budget credibility rests on the ability of our municipality to successfully deliver upon a number of measures that they have identified to deal with the financial predicament that we are in. We've spoken at length before with you about energy losses, but we also need to broaden the revenue base, and there are plans to do that, and that some of that is addressed in the adjacent policies, such as the rates policy, such as the indigent policy, plans to bring properties onto the valuation roll that have previously not paid rates, plans to make sure that people who are receiving a refuse collection service that are able to pay are paying the municipality for that. So those things are very positive. But if KDM want us to swallow this very difficult pill of this budget with increases that are well above CPI, in the economic environment that we're in, where residents are just under so much pressure, we need to have full transparency on the progress of all of these different interventions.
Yeah. Do you think that this budget would have been funded without these above board increases?
No.
Because, I mean, the ratepayers are on their knees at the moment. How do now you justify getting paying more for services where you're getting less for what your money is getting you? Are you able to answer that, Warwick?
Yeah, unfortunately, it's a bit of a double whammy. So the above inflation increases for rates and services at the same time as we are underperforming and under-delivering.
Only 38%.
38% of targets achieved. You know, that's less than half in the value for every rand dedicated to service delivery. But more importantly than that, because of the year upon year upon year of losses and inefficiency, we have very little capital expenditure left in the budget. What do I mean when I say capital expenditure? The budget is broadly broken into two areas of expenditure: operational expenditure, or OPEX, and capital expenditure, or CAPEX. And the operational expenditure part of the budget is all of the costs that are associated with day-to-day running of the municipality. That's all the salaries, all the rentals, all the, dare I say, electricity bills, all of that kind of stuff that's responsible for keeping the business of the municipality going on a daily basis. The CAPEX is all of the expenditure in new projects, in maintenance. So, for example, the Duguza substation.
Yes, I was going to come to that.
Is a huge cornerstone in the plan to fix the electricity problems in this municipality. Yeah. appears to be completely unfunded.
No grant.
Nothing. There's no provision for it in this budget, which means that, to the best of our knowledge, that substation project is now stalled. And I think we should know and realize that a project that's stalled that has to get restarted costs more money than a project that continues to run. And that someone has to be held accountable for.
Yeah. You know, the DA has flagged this as a direct risk to electricity supply. We are looking at all these developments, the expansion in our town, and they were really relying on a new substation. And the budget plans to reduce bulk electricity purchases by 122 million. That saving is premised entirely on reducing energy losses through strategies that have not yet in the past been proven to work. Now, if those savings do not materialize, as Action SA has warned, what does that shortfall mean for the rest of the budget and for residents?
Well, you know, Eskom had a, let's call it a euphemism, called demand-side management, which was Eskom's way of saying that that's the department responsible for figuring out how we sell less electricity because we don't have enough of it, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, the municipality shouldn't be targeting a scenario where it's buying less bulk electricity. You know, that we want this municipality to sell as much electricity as possible because it's making a markup on every kilowatt hour sold. What we want to figure out is, where is that electricity being used and why are we not charging properly for it? It is not possible. The latest figures that we have are that over 29% of the municipality's electricity purchases are being lost. It is not possible that those are technical losses. What do I mean by technical losses? That means that as you send electricity down a pylon through a transformer several or tens or hundreds of kilometers to where it needs to go, you will lose some along the way as a natural consequence of the way electricity works. Technical losses are well understood. They're calibrated. There's treasury standards. There's NERSA standards. What we are talking about are non-technical losses. What are non-technical losses? That's where the electricity is lost because a meter isn't calibrated properly, or because the meter was never installed, or because as a result of some kind of corrupt arrangement, someone who should have been charged 100,000 rand to have their electricity connected was never charged that at all. Our municipality has a major crisis in both technical and non-technical losses, and we've got to get that under control. Whether or not the municipality has budget to buy more or less bulk electricity is beside the point. We want to sell as much electricity as possible because we make money out of it, and we want to figure out where those losses are happening and get that fixed.
You know, the NERSA Electricity End User Forum was launched in December 25 at DOCRA's request, and one of only a few in the country, and it operates under the Electricity Regulation Act, and you can request documents, escalate license breaches directly to NERSA, and KDM's participation is mandatory now. All this through civil society. Now, this is a structural accountability mechanism that did not exist a few years ago. Are there any early signs that this is actually going to turn things around, or the behavior is changing, or are we just kicking the can down the road again?
Thanks, Penny. Yeah, I think that there are signs that this forum is going to deliver. I think one of the biggest wins when it comes to the end user forum is this idea of transparency, which I've touched on in relationship to the budget. We should never be in a position as the community where we're having to scratch and beg and scrape to get information about the services that we are supposed to be receiving, or about the problems and the challenges that are facing our community, particularly energy losses. So the End User Forum provides a space and a mechanism that is chaired by NERSA, the energy regulator, where we can make requests for those information, for that information, and KDM must comply with that. And therefore, we can unpack, you know, what is it that's really driving these challenges? Who's not holding up their end of the deal in terms of doing their job within the municipality?
And now with the substation where the DA says this is going to risk a lot on our electricity supply, and they said, well, there's no grant money, Tufts. They've spent a lot getting to this place. Now, where's that all going to? What now? Is there any accountability? Because Jolly, who is the executive director of the electricity department, he received a bonus. He earned 1.86 million rand in that department, and he received a bonus of 86,000 rand. And, you know, we've recorded 386 million rand in losses. Warwick, do you think that was justified? Is there a link now or a disconnect between accountability and consequences?
I think the municipality has completely lost the plot from a performance management and a consequence management perspective. They're living in a parallel universe. They parrot this phrase consequence management on an increasingly regular basis. But I actually don't want to hear it ever again.
It is hollow.
I don't want to hear the municipality mention consequence management again until someone gets fired.
Yeah, it's a joke. Hey?
It's an absolute joke. You know, as to bonuses, at the end of the day, these officials all have performance management contracts. And I think it's time that civil society gets hold of those contracts and interrogates them. Because it should not be technically possible for you to run a department into the ground, place the financial sustainability of the municipality at risk, and then still achieve a sufficient score in your performance contract to be awarded a bonus.
Yeah, it's so outrageous. You can't make this shit up, you know? It really is. It's a red flag to me when I read that.
100%, Penny. And the frustration that Warwick has just voiced is completely shared. I think the other thing that it's important to put on the record about DACUSA is that in terms of project management, you know, DACUSA is the largest capital project that our municipality has seen probably in 20 years. I haven't lived in this municipality for 20 years, so I can't say with complete certainty, but it is a huge hundreds and hundreds of millions of rands have gone into this project. And like you said, the grant application that went in last year was denied, and we have not received further information about how they're going to plug that funding gap, whether they're going to be looking at financing it, whether they're going to be looking for other grant funding. We simply don't know. The responsibility for project managing the DACUSA substation project also rests with ED Jolly. So not only are we looking at the business end of our electricity department being run into the ground, like Warwick just said, but looking to the future, our community is not being looked after in terms of getting this key piece of infrastructure up and running to support the economic development that we're so lucky to have in our municipality. Yeah.
Can we talk about the Section 106 report from COCTA, the investigation? I know that at our last conversation, DOCRA had put an power application because everything has happened behind closed doors. Where are we at the moment with that? Has the province released a redacted copy, as you said they would?
Thanks, Penny. No, they have not. And at this point, we've been forced to send a letter of demand from our attorneys to COCTA to compel them to release the report. We do understand that redactions need to be made to comply with the POPI Act. In some cases, but we'll be scrutinizing where those redactions are made once we get our hands on the report. We've also made requests numerous times for the DACUSA substation contract because of the delays that we've experienced, because of the amount of money that's at stake and the importance of this project. Those requests have been ignored by the municipality. Every single one has gone to Pam Govender, who is the head of the legal department at KDM, and they have been ignored. That is against the law.
And you guys instigated it. Civil society was the one who brought this complaint to COCTA. They instigated a report based on your complaints. And now there's such a paradox. They're refusing to release the report to you based on some, you know, obscure POPI Act. I know it's not obscure, but, you know, the council has seen it. There is no reason why you can't see the report and what it says, because there's an action plan on that report, which at the moment, the three suspended officials, that's massive. What do you say, Warwick? Is there any way we can actually force them or compel them?
Well, we're going to force them or compel them by taking legal action.
Yeah.
And then hopefully at the end of that action, there's a costs award in the favor of DOCRA, because it's completely unnecessary that a civil society organization should have to go to those lengths to at least get a response. Now, I think that we've seen this pattern of behavior. Certainly I have in my life involvement in public service, going back 20, 25 years now, where, for example, government officials hide behind the sub judice rule, which doesn't exist in South Africa. Yeah. It does not exist in South African law, but it gets rolled out all the time.
They love that word.
All the time. Unless there is a court order from a judge, there is no such thing in South Africa.
Yeah.
And then now we get to hide behind POPIA and various other claims, like, for example, it's going to prejudice the rights of such and such a commercial third party or whatever. It's all rubbish. We have to make sure that we are properly informed as a civil society. We must be able to present these public structures with clear legal opinions that make it 100% clear to them that we know what is legal to withhold and what is not legal to withhold.
Yeah. Are the opposition parties on your side, are they actually demanding that this report also be released in council? Because they also have a say. Basically, council is sitting there. They've all been privy to it in these special council meetings. There's all these action items. What are they actually saying about it?
I believe that there was a strong push from some opposition parties for some sort of media statement to be made subsequent to when the report was presented to council. It was probably about 2 months, I would say, before we actually had a media statement from KDM about the precautionary suspensions that you've already referred to. Beyond that, I can't comment on, or I have no knowledge of what specific action's been taken by any particular political parties. But I think to underpin what Warwick is saying, it's a basic democratic principle that our community deserves to know what is happening with the officials that are appointed to serve them, as well as the politicians that they have voted into office. If those officials or those politicians have engaged in behavior that they don't want to come into the public domain, they should think about that behavior before they engage in it.
Okay, can we go now, as we're starting to run out of time, on the property valuations and then BISA? We need to talk about that. That's quite important. Now, that is two important due dates that are coming up. The BISA is on Wednesday, public meeting Wednesday, 6:30 at the Mshlali School Hall. And the property valuations, those are closing for public comment the same day. What are we going to tell the people out there listening to this right now?
So on the property revaluations, we have two processes that are underway right now in terms of community interaction within Kwadukuza. One is the draft budget process and the Mbizo that's coming up. The other is the property revaluations. And that's been open since February. You can go online, check the value of your property. If you think that it's been incorrectly valued, so either over market value or under market value, you have a right to object. And all of that information is available on the DOCRA website under special projects. You'll find a number of resources in the form of blogs we've written on the topic.
Yeah, it's been very thorough. Are there any patterns that are emerging? Have you noticed anything? Have people's property been overvalued? I mean, some of the narky comments I saw was that, the property prices are getting pushed up, our rates are getting pushed up because the municipality needs that money to fund all their, you know, issues.
I think it's important to put a comment like that into context. Yeah. The last valuation was done in 2021, so it's actually been 5 years of compounded growth in the market that we're now trying to redetermine values on. But to be perfectly honest with you, I have not heard a lot of complaints from residents.
Neither have I, actually.
And indications from directly from KDM Finance support that they've received a very low number of objections at this point in the process.
Yeah.
But we encourage everyone to scrutinize that role and make those objections yeah. if they need to.
They are closing. And then once you you have that, you can't lodge an objection after that because basically it's closed till 2030, is it? No,
yeah,
no, correct.
It'll happen in 2031.
4 years, yeah, that's right. And I'm going to, obviously, I want to just touch on something that's been sitting with me since I reported on this development down at the Belita Village. There were like over 300 objections, and the comments I kept seeing on my socials that we did not make a difference. What is the point? They pass it on anyway, brown envelopes. And I hear the same thing about the Mbizo. And let's address that. Is that it's obviously defeated, being irrational, and they. Their response is we show up year after year and we watch the same things being repeated. So what is the point of us pitching up on a Wednesday night? You know, it's quite a family, you know, time as well. What is the point when nothing, you know, that we say makes a difference? Is that correct, Warwick?
I don't think it's true at all. I think over the last two RDP Mbizos that we've had, we have made a huge impact. And there is evidence of that. It's not just an opinion of mine. Civil society has been able to secure high-level investigations into not only from COGTA, but from the National Energy Regulator of South Africa and National Treasury.
We had the Hawks.
Hawks, yeah. And the SIU.
Yeah, we've rocked in this municipality.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a lot of that momentum has come from members of the public showing up and validating the work that is being done by civil society. I promise you, and I really mean this when I say this, municipal officials take civil society far more seriously when they know that they represent a hall full of people who are showing up and making themselves heard. So it makes a tremendous difference. It's motivation for civil society, but more importantly, it reminds municipal officials that we cannot be ignored.
And one last thing. I know 5 years from now, after the next election cycle, if nothing structurally changes in how this municipality is run and how the community engages with it, what does Kwadukuza look like? What would be what would have to be different starting this week? What do we compel, you know, the Dolphin Coast residents and ratepayers to do from now so things can change? Both of you need to answer this.
We're really, in terms of where we're at a crossroads. If we carry on, if our municipality carries on the path that, and the trajectory that they're on now, we can look to our neighbors in Itakweni and see what could possibly happen here.
Yeah.
So if we would like to turn this around, we need to send a very clear message to both the political leadership and the administrators in our municipality that we want action, and we need them to commit to delivering tangible results to deal with financial sustainability. This community has a long history, particularly in the recent past, of showing up for one another. We've shown up for each other when we had the riots. We've shown up for each other when we had the floods. Anytime there's any kind of crisis in the community, within hours, people are rallying together to support one another. And we need your support as civil society to be able to continue to do the work that we're doing. So please take the time to show up on Wednesday night, not just for us, but for your neighbors as well. When we show up for one another, we've demonstrated that we can really get things changed. We've seen changes at the highest political level. I'm not sure there's another municipality in South Africa where civil society and community pressure has resulted in the recall of a mayor by a majority political party, which is exactly what has taken place in our yeah. municipality. I don't know of another municipality in South Africa where the top administrator, the municipal manager, has been placed on precautionary suspension as a result of an investigation instigated by civil society. There's clear evidence that when we stand together, things happen and things change. So my appeal is to please show up on Wednesday night, and let's do this together.
Yeah, and Warwick.
Yeah, so in the next few years, if nothing changes, the municipality will run out of money. That's the bottom line. But it is so possible for us to turn this around. And I would suggest that the turnaround has started. As Mary mentioned, we have achieved the recall of a mayor. We've had some key personnel placed on suspension. And the people who remain in charge now have a very, very clear idea and lots of pressure that things need to start turning around. Now, in November, there almost certainly is going to be a change in political leadership. But that doesn't mean that the officials change. The officials, the head of the electricity department, the acting municipal manager, if he still is acting at the time, etc., etc., they are all still going to be in place and charged with their responsibilities. And so the turnaround that they are in the process of implementing now, we need to stay on that like a hawk and make sure that that turnaround gets purchase and builds momentum. And we can absolutely turn this situation around.
Yeah, that is it. So Wednesday, 16th of April, two deadlines on the same day. The 26-27 draft budget's open for public comment right now. So you can go to Kodikuza's website. The Mbizo Dumshlali School is at 6 p.m. Is that correct? I stand corrected. And this is the room where your input has to be heard before the budget's passed, so be in it. And the property valuation objections also close on Wednesday. This is Uncensored. The full episode is on Iona. Now, if you live on the Gulf Coast, this conversation is about your money, and you need to share it with everyone who needs to hear it before Wednesday. And the municipality is not broken beyond repair, but it will not fix yourself. Thank you to my two guests. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, Benny.
When it comes to security, don't leave it to chance. Trust the experts at IPSS Security as the only CISA-approved security provider on the Dolphin Coast in all categories and the only local security company also accredited for CCTV off-site monitoring with over 4 million rand invested in AI technology. They protect over 50 upmarket residential estates, spotting threats in real time. If action is needed, their rapid response and tactical teams, backed by the largest fleet in the region, is ready to act. For unmatched security, contact IPSS Security today at 0861 324777. Your safety is their priority.